Hello, everybody. This is Matt from the Morning Side Hug. Before we get underway with the show, I just wanted to let you know we didn't have any new shows this week. We weren't able to record our new episodes. So this episode here is not a collection of clips from the past week. This is actually our most recent Throwback Thursday episode. So this is going to be taking you back to some classic discussions that we've had in the past. Very entertaining stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. And this is one of the perks of being on our Patreon podcast group. For as little as $1 a month, if you donate to our radio ministry, then you get access to a specific RSS feed just for you that gives you all four weekly episodes of the Morning Side Hug, which they're about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes each. So that's nearly triple the amount of the Morning Side Hug each week if you subscribe. And one of the things that you get exclusively on this is our Throwback Thursday episode. So here is one of those. We present that to you in its entirety for free. And if you'd like more, well, join us at backrowradio.com/partner. And sign up. Thank you. Roll the intro music. It all started with a dream.
This is so stupid.
Been waiting my whole life for this. I got some things to say.
Slowly dying, but hey, we all are.
Good morning, Back Row Radio. I'm Matt.
And I'm Mo.
And you're streaming The Morning Side Hug, a Back Row morning show exclusively on backrowradio.com.
On today's show, we flash back to a classic episode of the Back Row Baptist podcast.
And we dive into a deep topic, four reasons we quit on quiet time. Hmm. But first, it is February 6th, and we have a holiday to celebrate.
True story. It is National Frozen Yogurt Day. Whoop. You scream, I scream, we all scream for frozen yogurt. Yes. Frozen yogurt is the delicious, creamy treat we all love. Yogurt was first invented over 4,000 years ago in the Middle East and India, and then slowly made its way across the world over the centuries. But it wasn't until the 1970s the brilliant idea of freezing yogurt and offering a healthier alternative created the taste sensation we love today. Since then, though tastes have cycled from sweet to sour, frozen yogurt has secured a place in our dessert lexicon. So today, pull the lever at your favorite frozen yogurt shop to celebrate National Frozen Yogurt Day.
So I have a couple things to say.
Oh, gosh.
Number one, I was unaware of the sour frozen yogurt trend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I ended up in Indiana and I had to fly back home.
Okay.
And I was in the airport waiting, and there was Pinkberry or something.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Some yogurt place. And I get up there, and I'm like, okay. They had several weird flavors. And they had an original, and they had a chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I assume the original was vanilla. Chocolate they were all out of when I got to the thing, because it was late at night. And so I got I'll just get the vanilla, the original. Bit into it. I thought it had gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
It tasted like sour milk. It was awful.
Well, it's yogurt.
It was so bad. So I threw it away. I thought there was something wrong. I learned later, no, this is how people are eating it now.
Yeah.
And I think people are weird.
I agree. So here's the thing. It took me a long time to, and I just cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
But it took me a long time to actually like yogurt because when I thought yogurt, I just thought plain, white, no flavored, sour yogurt. It was disgusting. Yeah. It was the worst thing ever. And then when we moved to Italy, we started to get actual good flavored yogurt.
Right.
So now, I guess I was the reversal of you, where I'm like, okay, yogurt can be sweet. Yogurt can actually taste good.
Right.
Frozen yogurt can be delicious. But yeah, if I would have read original, I would have been like, ew, who is eating it original?
So we have a frozen yogurt shop in our town that for a while was really popular.
Oh, you mean?
Told her not to name it, now she's playing with me. It was really popular But then it started doing something that I think businesses make the mistake of doing a lot.
Okay.
And this is, they stopped providing a base option all the time.
Yeah.
They change out their flavors every day. They have 8 spigots, and they would change out their flavors every day. But for a long time, that first stop, the first 2 stops, was always chocolate and vanilla.
And vanilla, not original. Vanilla.
Like actually vanilla.
Yeah.
Chocolate and vanilla, and this is the actual frozen yogurt ice cream replacement thing.
Yeah.
And they would have that. And then they'd have fun flavors after that. Well, then they started adding, like, they added, like, a sugar-free option in the back.
And they gluten-free.
Added gluten-free option. Yep. And so they started filling up a lot of those 8 spots. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, because they filled up, like, 3 of the spots at the end with the specialty yogurts, they only had 5 slots to change flavors around left. So they stopped offering chocolate and vanilla all the time. And I really think that's when their business started to drop off.
I agree.
Because number one, a lot of kids don't like to get too adventurous, chocolate and vanilla. But there's even a lot of adults. It would be like starting a pizza place and not offering cheese and pepperoni as options. Sometimes people just like the base flavor.
Yeah.
So I would go, Deidre and I went like 2 or 3 times. And there's like 5 flavors and none of them sound appealing to me. And so we just leave. Or she'd get something and I'd just sit there.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, you can't make that mistake. You gotta cater to your base.
I agree. I mean, yeah.
And then the last thing I want to share is a line from The Good Place. Which was in this fake afterlife town that the guy had created. He put like a bunch of yogurt shops. Like frozen yogurt shops. That's like the main thing. And he said, there's just something so human about taking something that's good and making it a little worse so you can have more of it. And that's exactly what frozen yogurt is. It's taking ice cream, making it a little worse so you can have more.
It's true. That's very true.
Matt! I turned you off, phone!
Oh my gosh.
What is wrong with you? Apparently I didn't. Sorry. Anyway, frozen yogurt. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the swirl. I like the chocolate and vanilla swirl.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Might be in my... When it comes to like comfort foods, that's actually a strange comfort food for me. A chocolate and vanilla swirl frozen yogurt. There's just something so soothing about one of those to me. I don't know why.
So we learned on the cruise that Chris does not like frozen yogurt.
What's wrong with this boy?
I don't know. I don't know. He also learned that he was choosing the frozen yogurt one over the actual ice cream one the whole time. And it's like the night of day four, and he's like, why do they only have frozen yogurt? Like, why can't I even get that soft serve garbage? Why is it only frozen yogurt? And I'm sitting there with my ice cream cone of chocolate and vanilla swirl, and I'm like, this is soft serve. And he's like, no, it's frozen yogurt. No, it's soft serve. And sure enough, we walked to the next little thing. And there it was, a frozen yogurt one and a soft serve one.
That's fantastic.
Another reason to only take 7-day cruises.
All right. Well, it is Throwback Thursday. And typically, as we've done this over the last year and a half, our Throwback Thursday only consists of the last 2 segments. But we are getting back into, with the Throwback Thursday, we go back to classic podcasts that Mo and I did, which aren't available online anymore. And we want to like salvage some of the best stuff and put it in our shows. And we're getting into a set time where we had expanded our shows to about 2 hours. Our podcasts were double the length they normally were. And so
we like to talk.
Right. We just did more. We were trying to go for kind of a morning show aspect.
Yeah, we were.
And so we did a lot more. And that means there's a lot of stuff I want to bring back because there was a lot of it that was good.
Yeah.
Clearly, even all of the segments that we have in a daily morning show still only reach about an hour, sometimes an hour and a half,
So we're not going to be playing nearly all of it, but we will be pulling out three great segments that we had. So we're going to start off this hour with a throwback to playing a game of Sunday School Answers.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we will do that right now. Wondering where your pockets are. Tasting smooth, creamy milk. Chocolate center. You're an M&M. It's all right. There's no sense in wondering where your pockets are. Mo, what's in store this hour?
We're going to be talking about our quiet time, why it's important to have one, and why it's so difficult to keep one, not just when you have annoying friends. Joining us to discuss this is going to be Matt's wife, Deidre Coker.
Hello.
Woo! You have a good butt. That's right. The second hour of our show is sponsored by Sunday School Answers. If you played Cards Against Humanity and found yourself too disgusted to enjoy it, then this game is the answer for you. Even many of the unchurched crowd prefer Sunday School Answers to the competition. Be the hit of your next party and bring Sunday School Answers. We just played it. I still haven't changed this copy.
No.
We did not play it last night, but we have played it many times. With our friends, and we've had a blast. It's so much fun, I've ordered every single expansion pack, meaning I'm ready to play any day. As I mentioned in the first hour, there are 7 packs in the series, including the new Backrow Baptist expansion pack, full of answers pulled from our tweets and podcasts. It's just the perfect accompaniment. I still can't say that. Ready for it. I was even thinking about it. Accompaniment. To the main base game, Sunday School Answers Collector's Edition. Game prices range from $15 to $31 and are sold on thegamecrafter.com or search for Sunday School Answers on Facebook. Links are going to be in the show's description as well. Sunday School Answers, a game for people who need Jesus badly.
Mm-hmm. Would it have been awkward if I had said hashtag truth when you said Deidre had a good butt?
Nah, because she does. It's truth.
What? I would have felt awkward.
Oh, and speaking of Sunday School Answers and awkwardness, that's our game of the show. We're going to play it right now. We're going to be using the Biblical Proportions expansion pack. Now, there are a few ways that you can play this game. Today, we're going to be playing a radio-friendly version. I will draw a white card that will have a dilemma. Basically, it's the start of a joke with a blank space. Deidre and Mo will have a handful of blue cards with answers on them to fill in the blank space. They are going to choose their two funniest options and place them on the table. I will pick them up, unaware of who played what, and read each of them aloud with the white card and then choose the best answer. Best answer gets a point. Most points at the end of 5 rounds wins. Easy enough?
Easy.
Easy peasy.
Now, Mo is our current reigning undisputed back row champion.
No, I'm not.
And yes, you are. And I believe for the first time since the finale of our first season, it's a one-on-one battle between Mo and Deidre for this title.
Ooh.
Mo walked away the winner that time. Let's see if my wife can bring the title home where it belongs.
Ooh.
Are y'all ready?
Ready.
Then let's play Sunday School Answers. I have dealt those out. Y'all can pick which one is yours, so you know there's no cheating.
I guess the reigning champion can pick first.
Yes, that is right.
All right, so here's the first dilemma. Now remember, y'all can't sit there and take forever because we're
got
live.
Well, I gotta read these. There's words here.
I gotta read. I got to read good.
So, Matt, is there a difference in the Biblical Proportions deck?
I believe most of the cards are supposed to be inspired by a Bible story of some kind.
Okay.
That seems about right.
The answer cards, anyway. The dilemma cards are the same as always, just random.
But. Okay.
All right. So, here's the first dilemma. We need to make a Christian movie that shows blank. Pick your two best options. We need to make a Christian movie that shows blank. They've each locked in one. Mo's locked in two. Deidre, Will you lock in your second card? All right. Mix them up for me in the living room to my hand, please. Slaves.
Do we get to draw two more?
Yes. Yeah, while I'm deciding, y'all can pick two more out of the pile. All right. We need to make a Christian movie that shows Moses writing a deep and provocative essay on the literal 6 days of creation, hoping that a scientist in the 20th century will have to refute it.
Goodness.
Oh, man. We need to make a Christian movie that shows Joseph twirling around in his sparkly sequined coat and feeling pretty. We need to make a Christian movie that shows that time Jacob German suplexed an angel of the Lord off a steel cage for the three count. And we need to make a Christian movie that shows Jesus ruining a perfectly good sermon with all this talk of H-E double hockey sticks. Oh, the Jesus or the Joseph one? I'm going to pick Joseph.
Yay!
Yeah. Wow!
So Danger wins one. Baloop, what was that?
What was that?
My Google thing popped up. Go away,
you said,
Google.
You didn't say, hey, Google.
Don't say it. Whatever it heard sounded like, hey, that word. That phrase.
Schmoogle.
All right, round two. If you put all the prophets in the same room, they will echo the message of blank. If you put all the prophets in the same room, they will echo the message of blank. They each have one card locked in, ladies and gentlemen. Who will lock in their second card first? Okay. And then Deidre. Mix them up. And hands them to me.
Please?
Yes.
Please.
No, please.
Gracious. Very close. I know your mama raised you better than that.
You don't know my mama.
I kind
of
do.
If you put all the prophets in the same room, they will echo the message of Judge Ehud, the toilet assassin. If you put all the prophets in the same room, they will echo the message of the elder in charge of making sure women don't talk during church. If you put all the prophets in the same room, they will echo the message of that one guy in the feeding of the 5,000 who had a seafood and gluten allergy. And if you put all the prophets in the same room, they will echo the message of women, the non-male alternative. I do like that card in general, but I think the best answer is the elder in charge of making sure women don't talk during church. Deidre, with two.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling out ahead. Well, you got to win all three of these now.
How many cards are we supposed to have?
Seven.
How do I only have six?
Draw another
six.
One.
You only drew one instead of two?
I guess so.
Oh, all right, here's our third dilemma. When I read through the New Testament, I can clearly see that envy, idolatry, and blank are a no-no.
I don't have a good one for this.
Uh-oh. Could be the end of Mo as champion. When I read through the New Testament, I can clearly see that envy, idolatry, and blank are a no-no. Huh. Lock in your cards, please.
We're working on it. Hold on.
No, you're working on it. Everybody's locked except you.
Okay, all right.
Please shuffle the cards in. Please hand them to me, please.
Can you not say it sarcastically?
No, take what you can get.
Rude.
When I read through the New Testament, I can clearly see that envy, idolatry, and rich and hearty bowls of wrath are a no-no. When I read through the New Testament, I can clearly see that envy, idolatry, and honey-dipped locusts are a no-no. When I read through the New Testament, I can clearly see that envy, idolatry, and Delilah's lower back butterfly tattoo are a no-no. And when I read through the New Testament, I can clearly see that envy, idolatry, and Boaz riding off Ruth as a tax deductible for his business are a no-no. Oh, those last two were really good. But Delilah's lower back butterfly.
Yes!
No! All right, Mo's still in the game.
Woo!
All right, Deidre has two.
That was a good one.
Deidre has two, Mo has one. Here's round four. Don't you dare bring blank into my presence.
Don't you dare bring blank into my presence.
We only have two opportunities to use it now.
I know, I'm going to have to just play it.
Both have locked in one card. Please lock in your second cards. Do it now.
I did.
Lock it in now. Lock it in.
You will do it now.
You will do it now. Okay.
She answers to no one.
She is regretting her choice.
I am. It's like...
All right.
The stakes are so high.
Don't you dare bring Job's hang in there poster into my presence. Don't you dare bring my fear of talking snakes that love misleading my fruit choices into my presence. Don't you dare bring the many sons of Abraham with a little help from Sarah into my presence. And don't you dare bring Goldstein's Beard Mousse, the official beard product for teenage messiahs, into my presence. Oh, goodness.
I think that was a really hard white card.
It was.
My fear of talking snakes that love misleading my fruit choices.
Yes!
Danger wins! Let's play the last round just for funsies.
Let's not.
Let's do it.
Come on, I have to put
down round five.
Funny card.
I aspire to be blank one day.
I aspire to be blank one day. Lock in your cards.
Shh. It doesn't matter anyway.
Do it now.
Time matters.
This one's for 2 points.
This is for 2 points. This
is for 15 points. None of the other rounds mattered.
Come on, Megan. I've never held the title.
Alright.
I'm sorry.
I aspire to be Jabez intricately sewing his prayer on a throw pillow to sell at local Christian bookstores one day. I aspire to be the third cow from the left in the nativity scene one day. I aspire to be Michael Bay's assistant on the Burning Bush project one day. And I aspire to be Cain and Abel being in a horse costume together for a talent show one day. These are good. I like the third cow from the left, though. Is that yours? All right.
It's worth 2 points. I get to keep the note.
Our final tally is Mo 2, Daedra 3. That means Daedra, for the first time ever, is the undisputed back row champion.
I can make your hands clap. Said I can make your hands clap.
Dance party.
Are we
going
to pause at this point?
I can't reach
heck
you.
Heck no.
Victory speech, Daedra.
I
never thought you'd be here.
Studied for this as hard as I study for my Bible studies.
Oh.
I do want it to be known that I think this may be the very first time playing this game, or a game of the sorts, that Daedra beat me when trying to give answers that you would give. I typically think a lot more like you than Daedra does.
And that's really the key to this game, is trying to think like the judge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah. Really, because when I would get right answers, say the last time we played it at someone's house, everyone accused me of knowing the person reading. Well, of course she's going to get it, because Matt's the one that's picking.
She's been married to him for 58 years. Oh,
you can't help that you guys got married when you were negative 12, okay?
And we will take a quick break right there. Coming up next, we continue to throw it back to a classic episode of the Back Row Baptist Podcast, and we share some failed devotional titles.
We'll be back at the top of the hour with more of the Morning Side Hug right here on Back Row Radio.
Morning Side Hug, a Back Row Morning Show here on Back Row Radio. We're going to kick off the second hour, as we always do, with five random facts.
Five random facts. Okay, I have to tell you, our listeners can't see this, obviously, but I just need to tell you for future reference.
Okay.
The first fact on my script here is not, like, bold like the rest of them. And so I didn't see it. I'm not even kidding. I was going to start with number two as number one. So for future reference, Matt, I need you to bold my text. Thank you. The Himalayan honeybee produces hallucinogenic honey. Okay.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Yeah. Have you ever tried it?
Do they sell it?
I don't know. Do they? Anyway. Peter Thiel, the first major Facebook investor, made $1 billion from his original $500,000 investment by selling his shares in 2012, a 200,000% return on his investment. That was a lot of numbers. And numbers are not my friend.
But that's a crazy jump.
Yeah.
Half a million to $1 billion.
Yeah.
Set for life, man. Set for life.
And yet...
Well, so many people waste that money.
I know!
Why is it that people that win the lottery, like 75% of them are broke?
For real?
In 5 years.
I ask myself that regularly. The average American swears 80 times a day, according to a 2016 study. I am not the average American. Wow, I swear.
Yeah, it makes me feel a lot better about the struggle. Caught your joke later. I swear I don't swear that much. It makes me feel better. I don't swear out loud typically. Sometimes when I'm alone, one will slip out. But yeah, makes me feel a lot better. Knowing that my once or twice a day, mostly in my brain, situation isn't as bad.
See, even in my brain, I say like, fudge.
Do you?
No. Yeah.
Deidre and I both have that problem in our brain.
We're
both
potty brains.
Like sailors, yeah.
Potty brains.
It just takes a lot to get us there, is all I'm saying.
In the U.S., Google searches for why is my poop green peak between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m.
It's a fun fact.
Wow. Netflix monitors illegal download data to determine which shows are worth buying. Is that data or data? What do you say?
I think I say data, but I only say it because of the character on Star Trek and the
Me
Next
too.
Generation.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right. Well, it is Throwback Thursday, and we already had one segment, and we're going to jump into a second segment of our throwback, where Mo and myself, along with my wife Deidre, are going to be talking about some failed devotional titles. Stick around. Where your pockets are, tasting smooth, creamy milk, chosen center, you're an M&M, it's all right, there's no sense in wondering where your pockets are. Hashtag I got moving on Twitter yesterday. We did our best to come up with the best hashtag failed devotionals that you never want to use in your quiet time. And here are some that we got back. Let's have a hashtag party. Eventually. First one is from that handsome gentleman, Back Row Baptist.
Oh my goodness.
Our daily low-carb salad. instead of our daily bread.
At Mama C7 says, Pokemon go through the Bible in a year. I don't want that one.
At Cody Locks, I like that. Tide Pods, a cleansing fast through Esther.
At JJ Rob 1211, how to be a Joseph when your boss's wife is kind of into you.
At Back Row Baptist, every day a Monday.
At Papa Gamer, baking with manure, a recipe guide to Ezekiel.
At Rogue Church 1, why shushing your wife in public is okay. A closer look at 1 Corinthians 14:34.
At Back Row Baptist, my daily lead, devotions for gun owners. I think Chris may like that
one. I was going to say that. At Cody Locks, how to get your children to leave your house. A study of the book of Exodus.
I keep getting all these women ones. At Valerie Kaufman, Proverbs 31 woman, what to expect from your wife and how to correct her shortcomings.
So that's one for the man.
Right. Yeah.
These all seem to be men ones.
That's funny. At Rogue Church 1, if God can speak through a donkey, he might be able to speak through you too.
At Back Row Baptist, experiencing gosh.
I have a lot of them in there. You're just going to have to take some.
Oh my gosh.
Did you pull the last one out? I have these in an order.
Oh, sorry.
Gracious.
I was trying to not get
a
Back Row Baptist.
At Crass Christian, the purpose-driven nap.
At Rogue Church 1, how to change the subject when people ask why Jesus turned water into wine if drinking is a sin.
Some people need to do that study.
Everyone does. Who are you calling out, Deidre? I want names.
No, I mean, because that's what everyone brings up. Are you against Jesus drinking? Because Jesus
thought,
turned water into wine.
Some people need to.
No. I know. I felt very convicted.
I was not
in her judgmental comments. I don't drink every
alcohol.
Day. I don't drink all day. Just in the mornings.
At Back Row Baptist, Jesus texting.
Instead of Jesus calling. At Back Row Baptist, our daily spread, devotions for butter enthusiasts.
I like that one. I put it in my coffee. How do I say this? Seminarian.
Seminarian.
At Seminarian, confessing to dashboards, a guide to praying with your eyes open.
You're driving in your car.
Oh,
praying.
Gosh, I don't get these.
They're thinkers.
At JJRob1211, holy kisses and sacred side hugs.
Mm-mm. At Papa Gamer, your hair is like goats. How to compliment a woman as taught by Solomon.
At Rogue Church 1, why the church down the road doesn't get to go to heaven.
Last one.
At Back Row Baptist, David's Guide to Dancing Naked, Spice Up Sunday Worship.
White fries, candies, cream and milk, chocolate, no chocolate. Do you think white fries, candies, lemon and almond chocolate? Do you think white fries, candies, chocolate, yogurt and ham?
Take a quick break right there. Coming up next, we continue our throwback discussion and we'll dive into four reasons we quit on quiet time.
We'll be back at the top of the hour with more of the Morning Side Hug right here on Back Row Radio.
Whoa.
Welcome back to the Morning Side Hug, a Back Row Morning Show here on BackRowRadio.com. It is Throwback Thursday, and let's just jump right back into our discussion. This hour, we're going to be talking about four reasons we quit on quiet time. Here we go. Your pockets are tasting smooth, creamy milk. Chocolate center, you're in an M, it's all right. There's no sense in wondering where your pockets are. Quiet times. What should they look like? Why are they important? And why is it so dang hard to keep them? So let's just start with that first question. What does a quiet time look like to you? Like, for me, I'll start because I didn't give you a heads up on the question. I just dive right in. For me, a quiet time ideally looks like in the morning. Usually I'm the first one awake, so I would be awake. In the living room, quiet, by myself, reading the Bible, and probably doing a devotional. I used to like to do the Every Man's Battle devotionals. There's actually an Every Man's Devotional that covers things from like all five or six of the books in that series. But, of course, lately, in the last decade or so, my main go-to devotionals have been Celebrate Recovery devotionals. But usually about a 10-minute thing ending with prayer and trying to list my prayer requests. Right?
Did you hear that?
I did.
Mo had a burble in her gullet. So what about you two?
I like how you said ideally.
Yeah,
ideally,
yes. Gonna say, I'm going to use that.
We can even put that in the question. What does an ideal quiet time look like to you? There we go.
I would say in the morning as well, before anyone else wakes up, with my coffee.
Addict.
With my coffee. And I typically like to just read a book. I like to go through an entire, it doesn't have to be like a Christian fiction book. I like reading Candace Cameron Bure, which Matt, way to go on the Christmas gift this year.
Nailed the
Christmas gift.
The coworker Christmas gift this year.
Yeah, yeah. Almost cried. I have a book by Candace Cameron. I have a book by Hosanna Poetry. And, oh, crud, I can't remember the third book that I have. Oh, it's Mac and Mary's.
Oh, Never Let Go.
Yeah, yeah, Mac and Mary's book. So I've been going back and forth between those three books. I like to do a Bible study occasionally, but quiet time for me would be just reading a chapter out of one of those books and really kind of focusing on where God takes me in that.
Okay.
Interesting.
Deidre?
Yeah. I always thought, you know, quiet time, Bible, but I didn't think about Christian book.
Yeah.
I think that would be nice. I've done the devotional things, you know, daily. Mm-hmm. You read this one thing a day. But I like a book. I think that would be a good way to read a book, mm-hmm. being a mom, you mm-hmm. know, like, I don't read books anymore.
Right. For me, it takes out the checklist aspect of it. It's not, okay, I got to do my devotional today, or okay, I got to read my Bible today. It's, no, I'm going to sit down and read my book.
Yeah.
So, you heard it here, folks. Any Christian book. So, pick up. Please don't side hug me. And make your devotional time fun time.
Hashtag truth.
So, like, normally when people are asked this question, I think a general response is, you know, sitting down for a few minutes a day, we're supposed to read a little bit of the Bible, maybe a journal, and pray. But the greater spiritual truth is that a quiet time doesn't even really take place here on earth. It takes place in the spiritual realm as we connect with God emotionally, mentally, and sometimes even physically, as we would with another human being. It's a level of intimacy with the Creator where we meditate upon His Word. We listen for His guidance. We respond to His prompts. And we pray for ourselves and for the world around us specifically and intentionally. So today we're going to talk about four reasons quiet times are important, four reasons we quit on our quiet times, and four tips to making your quiet time a habit.
Okay.
So y'all jump in whenever you're ready.
Four and four.
Questions. So the number, let's talk about the four main reasons that we quit our quiet times to start with. So the first one I have is the New Year effect. Mm-hmm. It's basically kind of like your New Year's resolution. You jump in, you're ready to do it. I got my date planned. This is when I'm going to jump in and start doing it every day. And you get too much too soon. You set a too ambitious of a goal for your day. Like, I'm going to spend 15 minutes reading the Bible. I'm going to spend 30 minutes in prayer. And I'm going to spend 15 minutes journaling. I'm going to spend an hour every day having this magnificent quiet time, hoping for giant spiritual growth. And of course, you get way too bogged down in it, and the pace is too fast to keep up. So it's the same thing like going to the gym. When you're like, all right, I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to go day one. Going to work out an hour every day. Never going to miss a day. And then...
which we have done
a week later.
Since the new year. Way to go.
And then it's almost March, and all three of us in this room, I don't think...
What? She has been going.
Have you been going?
I've been running. I haven't gone to the gym.
So, yeah. So
but no, I've been running. Count.
Doesn't count.
Hey, it counts because I'm running a half marathon.
You're paying for a gym membership.
Yeah, that's true.
They have 8,000 treadmills that you could be running on.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be running on a treadmill when I do the half marathon.
But you'll have inclines and declines.
I figure if I can run against the winds in Clovis, New Mexico...
Bottom line is none of us are going to the gym right now.
Tumbleweed yet?
No, not yet.
Number two reason that we quit our quiet times, the missed day snowball effect. Miss a day, you're a day behind. You get too far behind, and you give up. This is especially... Go ahead. What do you say?
Yeah. Those devotionals that have the date on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it.
Kill you. Because then you're like flipping, you're like, oh gosh, how many have I missed? Forget it.
Kind of tied into each other, so you can't just skip them.
Again, another reason to read a book.
Like I would always say, I'm gonna read the Bible in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come to that conclusion in May. Like, so I gotta wait till January to start. So yeah, that one, get too far behind. That happened to me a lot on whenever I tried to do Bible studies with the Bible app, because they have a whole they have a whole bunch of devotionals, and they're usually only a couple weeks long. But I realized that as soon as I start, I'll do a day or two, and then it'll be several days of it just popping up. Hey, you haven't done your quiet time. Hey, you haven't read your devotional. Shut up. And then I just eventually, I just delete the app on my phone for a couple months.
I'm busy watching this video on YouTube.
Poor WWE.
Oh, man. So, number three, the sleepy brain.
Mm-hmm.
Early morning or maybe before bed at night, midday, sleep wants to trump your desire to do the work. And that's really hard because quiet time is designed to be quiet and peaceful. And even relaxing.
Quiet and peace equals
you want to fall back to sleep.
Yeah,
so I get that. And then number four, the numbers problem. Ever read the book of Numbers? It's pretty boring.
It's just a bunch of numbers.
So
right?
We lose interest.
Oh, like if you're trying to go through the Bible,
yeah,
and you get to numbers, you're like, that's it.
Genesis, cool. Exodus, awesome. Leviticus, Numbers, okay, I'm done.
I made it to 2 Kings one time.
That's when stuff starts picking up. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel. So we hit the David stuff and the Solomon stuff.
Yeah.
It's 1 and 2 Chronicles after 1 and 2 Kings.
But I was talking about the stories.
I'm singing the song in my head.
Anyway, so those are the four main reasons. I have a problem of having to force myself to stick to something, even if I'm bored with it. Like, I have the kind of slightly OCD thing of, if I start this devotional, even if I get to day four and I'm like, this devotional stinks or doesn't apply to me.
You have to finish it.
I have to finish it or quit altogether. I can't start a new thing. I can't be like, all right, I don't want this one. I'm going to start a different one. I don't know why that is, but that's how my brain works, and it stinks.
That's why Matt and Deidre have been together for so long. Even in the hard times, he's
even
like,
even if I wanted to quit, I'm like, I'm not starting over. I got a new thing. Forget that. All right, 31. Or 32. 32.
We're going to be 33 this year.
Old enough that I can't remember my age.
I know. Not me. That's a real thing.
So what are some other reasons that you've given up on quiet time?
I mean, just busyness, I guess, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the number one.
That's like for, yeah, for Bible studies. I'm like, oh, man, Bible studies tomorrow night and I haven't done anything yet. Where did my week go? Mm-hmm. Like, I have to start the next day.
Yeah.
Or that's it.
I actually occasionally will start after we leave Bible study. I get home at 10 o'clock at night from Bible study because Deidre and I do Bible study together on Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. And so we get home late in the evening and I will start that first chapter of the week that night because I know if I wait until the next morning, I'm not going to do it.
You see, I'm the guy who's filling out all 5 days of the next week during the video for that week.
We watch the video after.
Oh, that's a bummer.
We do that, yeah.
I don't, yeah, I don't wait. Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
One we're doing. Yeah.
What are you doing right now?
It's, I don't, Hebrews.
Hebrews. It's explaining to us. Lisa Harper. It's explaining to us why our husbands are supposed to be the ones making our coffee every morning.
That's right, yeah.
I bought her a Keurig that basically does her the same.
My mom bought me a Keurig.
But I told Tina that she'd like it half a year ago, and then I found out that she didn't want it. But now that she has it, she likes it. So either way, I'm claiming partial credit.
Okay.
But I'm going to call you out a little bit because y'all have your Bible studies on Tuesdays.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I didn't usually finish my thing.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Let
her talk.
I like the one we're doing now because it doesn't separate out the days.
Yeah.
Usually you have 5 days, mm-hmm. you know. And so I get there and I'm like, only 3 days to Bible study and I still have all 5 days. This one doesn't have any days.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just as long?
The week.
Yeah, it's pretty much just as long. There's a lot
but
of
you
reading.
Just stop and start wherever. Yeah.
But see, I would hate that. I would like to have the increments because once you finish a day, you at least have that little bit of satisfaction. Okay. Part of the way there.
No, I see, and me, you know, starting it 2 or 3 days before Bible study, it's like, good, I don't have to know how far behind I am.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Deidre here. I really like the way that Lisa Harper has this one laid out as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was going to call you out for is you just said 2 to 3 days to a Bible study, and I feel like every Tuesday morning I'm asking, so hey, did you get any of your work done? You're like,
nope.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I totally did
and
all of it.
Sometimes I wish I had a job that you could do Bible study, you know, while you worked, but
you do not. No.
Yeah, I don't either. No. I mean, I might be able to pull it off.
You can watch the Olympics, though.
I can watch the Olympics because I'm on a computer.
That's right.
So I can pull that up and stream it in the background.
We need to get a Bible study that is like on a CD and it can just read it to you.
An e-study.
There we go.
All right, Carla, we're calling you out. You got to find it for our next Bible study. It has to accommodate mine and Deidre's weekly needs. I want to say, though, the reason that I have always had a hard time with quiet time, okay? I would wake up before I started working. When I was at home with the kids, I would wake up before the kids. I would go out to the back porch, typically in the summertime. And I would start on my Bible study. And then from inside the house, I could hear yelling and fighting. And it's first thing in the morning. And they have just ruined my quiet time.
Your serenity.
I go in there and I am no longer peaceful, no longer happy, no longer feeling all Christian mom. And I am screaming at my kids. And then I have to go back and do my Bible study? No.
That was one of the things we read. I don't remember what Bible study it was, but it talked about how quiet time for moms isn't always quiet time. You know, you can do your Bible. When I was nursing Johnny, I would be, you know, sitting there doing my Bible study while he's nursing. It's not, you don't have to go into a room by yourself and do that all the time. It can be with life happening.
Mm-hmm. And it can be 5-10 minutes here and there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a whole hour.
Yeah. Does if you're holy. The longer the quiet time, the holier you are. That's
our
in the Bible.
Our kid wakes up at 5, sure. So if you wanted to wake up
with
before
me,
then.
With me.
Yeah.
I wake up.
This morning it had to be me, okay?
Except for Saturdays and Sundays.
Kate, we're not fighting on this.
We are fighting. Other reasons that we can give up on quiet time. Some people give up because things are going too good in their life. Like things are going great. Problems aren't happening. And you don't really feel the need to come before the Lord in prayer as often. So quiet time kind of dips away.
Right.
Which I think is one reason that God doesn't always let things go good for very long in our lives. Because he wants us to remember, hey, we need him. The flip side of that is sometimes we don't like asking for help. I feel like this is a problem a lot for like new believers. Maybe all, but I know that when I was first, when I first became a believer, I felt so guilty about my own problems and, you know, most of the bad things in my life were caused by me being stupid, not outside forces. And so praying for help almost felt disrespectful, you know, like, I know I did this to myself, but can you please help me get out of it? You know, that kind of mentality, which is exactly what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. God wants you to surrender everything to him. But we have this mindset of interacting with God like he's another person on earth. So like if
I kind of like, it's my fault I'm in this mess, but can you please help me get out of it?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Which is what we're supposed to do. But yeah,
because it's never God's fault that we're in a
Of course,
mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always
so like, God, you did this to me. Can you please undo it? And then, of course, we got the other reasons of like we're selfish, too selfish with our time to even think about it. And I think we're not deliberately, we don't always deliberately fall into that. But I think we do unintentionally fall into that mode. Especially, I mean, I know I do. Because honestly, I haven't had a quiet time on a regular basis for pretty much as long as we've had children. Not adjusted.
Wow.
Still. It's been almost 4 years. Still haven't adjusted to finding a regular quiet time.
Who's the holy one now?
Oh, all right. Part two. Let's talk about the reasons quiet times are important. Now, I know when I became a Christian, it was one of the first things I was told to do. Start having a daily quiet time. And in the last few 10 years of my life or so, I've been encouraged in Celebrate Recovery to make daily quiet time and inventory a part of my life. In neither case have I been perfect about keeping them, though, as I've said. But what are some reasons that quiet time is important to you?
Well, I think that it's in that quiet time that we can fully surrender. That we, you know, after a week, maybe 2 weeks of being diligent about having a quiet time, then you begin to realize, okay, yeah, I don't have it all together. I kind of suck at this whole life thing. And the only way that I'm going to make it through is with God's help. And so then quiet time becomes a good reminder of how powerless we truly are.
Mm-hmm. I once heard it described like, you can't just depend on Sunday mornings to get your fill from God. You know, you can't just come Sunday mornings, hear the sermon, and that's it. And it lasts you that whole week. You don't just eat one big meal a week. You know, you eat 3 meals a day. You need to have daily time with him to build a relationship, just like our friends. If you had one friend you just spent an hour a week with, you wouldn't be very good friends. You know, so that's how I kind of see it. You see them all the time. What are you talking about?
I spend too much time with you.
Sorry. Go on. But
that was it.
That was all. Now I'm giving you too much time. There are 4 main reasons that quiet time is important. The first one is communion, which is not like
not the bread and
the bread and the wine thing, but you know, actually
Pepsi and Ricola
connected.
That's a Bible study.
Yeah, she told me about
yeah.
it. But actually connecting with God. The next is purification, which would be like confessing our sins and our struggles for that week. and giving them to God. Restoration, where basically we allow God to take those from us and allow him to build us back up. And then instruction, God guiding us our way. So communion, purification, restoration, and instruction are the ideal four main reasons for quiet time. Let's get back to our discussion and talk about four ways to make your quiet time a habit. Number one, assuming you're like most people who intend to have their quiet time in the morning, move the alarm clock. Getting out of bed is the key.
It doesn't work.
No, it works for me.
Nope, it does not work for me. My phone is all the way on the other side of the room. And by the other side of the room, I mean in the corner. And I'm like, it's really not the other side of the room. It's from me to the door. Anyway.
But you have to get out
of bed. I have to get up out of bed.
And you get back in bed?
I do, with my phone.
You are so terrible.
I snooze it and get in bed with my phone.
Almost worse than day drunk.
I am awful. I have an alarm for 6:30, sometimes 6:40 if I'm going to bed the night before and going, oh, I need some more time. And then he has to have an alarm on his phone for 7 o'clock to call me in our bedroom and say, are you awake yet? And I think only successfully two times I've been able to say, yeah, I'm awake already.
Okay, so here's the thing. Fun fact, our alarms are set for the same time. So maybe we should just start texting each other. You awake? Uh-huh. All right, get up.
Yeah.
My alarm is set for 7 o'clock on the weekdays. I rarely get to make it to 7, and not because of the alarm, but because of my kid, because he usually likes to wake up
at
5:30 or 6. But when I do get to sleep late, if he sleeps in, I want to sleep until 7. Instead, I get to listen to 40 minutes of snoozing every 5 minutes with Daedra.
Yeah.
I'm like, Daedra, you know science has come out and said that you'll get so much more rest if you just sleep through those 40 minutes instead of tricking your brain in and out of sleep. But she still refuses.
That's
I do the same. But her excuse is, it helps me wake up gradually.
Yes.
But again, she's already admitting she doesn't get up. I have to come wake her up.
Yeah. And I have, since having Johnny, I have gotten to where I'm just sleeping through my alarm.
Yeah.
Just completely sleeping through it. He's gone, you know, out, and I can tell if I've slept or if I've snoozed because my phone says you missed your alarm, you know. So I know I just slept right through it. I didn't groggily hit the button. Oh, I just slept right through the thing.
We need to get you a new alarm sound, which I don't have here. Darn.
The wake the dead thing? Yeah.
Wake the dead thing? Yeah. Oh. I mean, it could be this. I can make your hands clap. So you jumped right there.
You know, maybe something like that should be my alarm.
We should get the
something
song.
Something to get you up and dancing.
Yes, something to get me up and dancing. Because I'm going to be up, and I'm going to be dancing. So I'm exercising first thing in the morning. I'm kicking my metabolism right into gear.
Gracious. Let's see. Now, if you're planning on doing your quiet time some other time of the day, set an alarm or schedule it to help you remember. I know that runs the risk of making it
a
part of your checklist and a chore, but at least to get you started, it's a good practice.
I will say, I don't know if Deidre remembers this, but our friend Emily Bonner, she shared with us to set an alarm... three times, that she would set an alarm three times throughout her day. And that, she worked full time, but at like, maybe it was only two times throughout her day.
Like 10 and 2 or something.
Yeah, at 10 and 2, she would set an alarm, and just for 5 minutes, she would just stop what she was doing, stop her work, and she would just kind of pray and refocus her thoughts on God. And I did that for quite a while after she shared that with us. I should probably get back to doing that. But it was a really good habit to just refocus my thoughts because while at work, you know, things can get crazy and we can get aggravated and frustrated. So,
yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, pick a single place. Decide where you will have your quiet time away from distractions and do it there consistently because it will help you develop a routine. So we've kind of talked about it already, but specifically, where do you like to do your quiet time?
Throughout the summer and the nice months, I like to go out on our back porch. But when it's colder, I sit in the big brown chair in our living room in the corner.
I think I used to go. We had the thing that's outside now on our porch, that little round table.
A little coffee table type thing? A little
coffee table thing that's cafe really table. A patio thing. So now it's outside that we now that we have an now outside. It's actually on the patio, yeah. Yeah. But I didn't think about going to the covered patio when it gets warmer out.
Mm-hmm. That like would that's be a my good that's spot. My ideal thing too. I'd mm-hmm. like to go out now that we have a covered patio. I hate like bugs and junk. Mm-hmm. So bugs and junk. Having the covered patio is nice.
Yeah.
All right. Number three, study what interests you. Like what are some devotionals or topics that you enjoy reading about? Like I already said, I enjoy like the recovery themed ones just because that's what my life has been focused around for the last 10 years. And it helps keep me in this mindset and the gratitude and remembering what God brought me out of. But I'm at the point where I'm ready to start researching some other things and kind of growing beyond that. But what are some things that y'all like to discuss? Because, I mean, y'all have had these Bible studies going on for the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much continuously.
And well, they're typically
quit for a while.
Yeah.
Quitter.
They're typically a women's Bible study, right? So focused on that aspect, I guess.
Do y'all talk about lady parts or what makes always it no. what makes it what makes it women's as opposed to just
we complain about our husbands. That's
just all it is? No. Oh, no, led by a woman. Like typically yeah. we do a
so they women, get you. Women aren't allowed to teach men.
They I forgot. Get you.
What? We teach men every day. Isn't that in the Bible?
You're not, women aren't supposed to be.
Every day. Oh. Women are not supposed to be leaders over men.
So only women can teach other women. That's the rule.
I hope that my eye roll came through on Facebook. I know it didn't vocal translate over into our audio listeners, but all my visual people out there, I hope you saw it.
Any specific topics, though, besides just lady parts?
I like the studies that focus on a specific book of the Bible.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And I like to go verse by verse, typically, mm-hmm. with that book to break it down. For a while, I did CBS, which is Community Bible Study, and it's actually worldwide. They have CBS groups all over the world.
That's a channel.
Yeah, it is a channel. It's a TV channel. It's also the name of a Bible study, Community Bible Study. I did that. Well, and the thought behind Community Bible Study is it's not denominationally based. Oh. So you have a community of believers. You have people there who are Baptist and Methodist.
So you have a situation where everybody's a little bit upset with what's being taught.
But
nobody's completely upset.
But the beauty of it is that we would go through book by book, verse by verse, and break it down at its true meaning. And so there was no arguing or no dispute as to what it meant. No, this is what the Bible says at its core. This is what it is. And I've learned, you'd be surprised. And we were, what, a group of 12 to 15 women?
I mean,
multiple small groups. And there was never arguing. Lots of learning.
So there were multiple small groups. So you could group together with your own
Baptists in this
beliefs,
one.
Right?
Church of God over
or
here.
Or did they like draw from a hat, you know?
No, they, I mean, you fill out, oh my goodness, you fill out a sheet when you register for the Bible study. And then the board of the Bible study puts the small groups together and they make sure that they are a diverse small group. And the leader of that small group is taught and educated on how to not allow the group discussion to get denominationally swayed one way or the other. You just stick to what the verse says and what it meant in that time.
That's the problem I'm having with this.
Why?
Because that's what denominations fight about, is the meaning of the verse, the meaning of
interpreting the Bible. Yeah. I wish that there was somebody live right now who
had. I can't imagine that there's never a disagreement.
Samantha,
about
this
what
is when
says.
I need you to be
especially
listening.
Especially the controversial verses like
Maybe they just don't go there. Does that one verse mean
that we have to be baptized or not?
Before or after? Or
stuff like that.
Not at all. Yeah.
But see, you would be surprised how many people walk away going, oh, I didn't realize that that's what the Bible said. I didn't realize.
I'm sure. How many times? Yeah.
How many times in our own walk, you know, because we all believe that Baptist is right. It is the ultimate religion, right?
That's the number one evangelical denomination.
But how many times have we just taken something for truth and not really done the research on it and just been like, okay, that's just what we're taught. That's how we believe. Cool, whatever. No big deal. But then when you do the research and you look into it and you really begin to realize why it was written, the time that it was written, and who it was written for, then you can begin to understand, okay, maybe I was wrong about this verse.
Yeah.
And we went through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy last year, which are pretty deep. We went through the whole Levitical law.
First and second Samuel. Sorry. You got me stuck in the song.
That's not how the song goes.
I have a different song.
That's not.
Equally good.
There is a really good new
I learned it in Catholic
song school. To teach kids books of the Bible. I am committing next year to be doing it. That's making noise. To be doing it in Awana.
You got scolded by
it's
my
like,
wife.
It's like, they made a chorus for
my
it.
My show.
It's really cool. These are the books of the Bible.
That was, you know what I'm talking about? That was beautiful.
It's really cool.
Fantastic, catchy.
It's a really good song. And it's like a upbeat, like drums and everything.
So these are the books of the Bible.
So I know what we're doing.
Books of the Bible.
Oh, I think I have heard it.
Remember? We played it like once.
So I know what Deidre and I are doing this summer, apparently. We are learning that song. So next year we can teach our Sparkies.
We're going to make a CD.
Hey, I'm just proud that they've all learned the Sparky's theme song this year.
Right.
Because I make them travel through the hallway singing it.
All right. Number four, last of the four here. Start small. It's a new habit. So as we talked about the gym stuff earlier, treat it like exercise. Start with the little stuff and a short amount of time and build up as the Lord leads you. Remember Zechariah 4:10, it says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Any other ideas how to make quiet time a habit?
Go ahead. I like the idea of doing a timer. Because if I'm ever going to remember to really do it, yeah. I'm going to need to have a timer. Or create like a Facebook event every day. So my phone is popping up reminding me, you know, because at work, we have this great day calendar system that I wish you could get on your phone where you can set an event and, you know, have it remind you and snooze it 5 minutes, much like the thing.
That's all you'll do.
But
you'll just snooze it all day.
But like that snooze. Way, if you're like right in the middle of something, when your alarm goes off, you know, you can just snooze it for a little bit.
We should have like it should have an image pop up with it so that you can have Jesus's face and just like
scowling, wagging your finger back and forth.
Do your quiet time, and then every time you hit snooze, he gets more angry.
Like, I feel like that would put a dangerous spin on Jesus when you're heading into quiet time. I gotta do my quiet time or Jesus is gonna kill me.
Jesus is gonna be mad at me. I think honestly just having accountability. I really feel like we need to be more willing to Deidre, did you do your Bible study? You know, and not feel guilty about asking someone, not feel guilty about making them feel guilty because they didn't do their
How about instead of angry Jesus, it's like
he's still in his little box.
He's like, I'm here. Where are you? Kind of like sad Jesus. I thought we were meeting at this time. Did you stand me up?
Wow.
Make you feel guilty, Jesus. Not make you feel scared, Jesus. I guess that would be for Catholics.
It depends on who you are.
Catholics can have the guilty Jesus.
I would need an angry Jesus.
You need an angry Jesus.
I need an angry Jesus.
Need the flipping the tables.
I do. Yeah. I do. Megan!
Your phone just flips 360 on you.
I said we're doing a quiet time. Boom.
Okay, Lord.
All right, so some other ideas for helping make quiet time a habit. Don't feel guilty if you miss one, because guilt is poison. Again, with the gym metaphor, you know, I was listening to something. I don't remember what I was listening to, but somebody asked the question of this guy who was answering questions about going to the gym. Said, what if I only go to the gym like once a month? He said, well, if that's all that you're willing to do, do that. Because even going to the gym for 1 hour out of a month is still an hour's worth of exercise you've put into your body. And, you know, that's better than nothing. So in the same situation, if you've been having a hard time keeping your quiet time, don't just let the guilt of you missing it for a week or a month or whatever keep you from actually sitting down and doing it when you remember. It's like, oh, I haven't done it forever. I might as well just quit now and not do it anymore. That's, you know, that's poison. You don't want to do that. Don't look at it as a chore, but as quality time with the Father. Find something that challenges you and helps you grow and learn, which, like I said, that's my goal now. I want to find something that'll help me grow a little bit more beyond what I've already been doing for the last 10 years with the recovery-focused stuff. And then get accountability.
It took you 10 years to get here.
It did. It took me 10 years to get to here, which is finally kind of okay. One day I might even reach good. And what y'all have been talking about, y'all brought it up, get accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all were talking about waking up, but you should do it for doing your quiet time too. Should you do your quiet time today? You know, that kind of stuff.
But then we have to be honest with each other and not be like, yeah, totally, got it done.
And just like the angry picture of Jesus, you need to get angrier and angrier when the other person doesn't do it. Did you do your quiet time? No.
We're just going to start taking angry selfies of each other and sending them.
Every time you forget to do your quiet time, you have to draw a punishment card.
Daedra did not sound enthused.
The punishment deck from Back Row Games. $12.99 and thegamecrafter.com.
Goes with any game.
Comes with any game. Almost any game.
Any game where there's a loser.
Any game Megan plays. Is a game where there's a loser. Like today on the Backward Baptist podcast, where she lost the title to my wife. She's going to hit me with a shoe!
Does she have to draw a punishment?
No. We don't have all that stuff. Oh, goodness. Let's see. I think that about wraps up our discussion on quiet times, unless there's anything else you two would like to add.
It wasn't very quiet.
No.
Should we have a?
We should have a quiet time
right now.
Quiet time in remembrance of all those missed quiet times.
Let's have 10 seconds of silence. I can make your hands clap. White rice candies, cream and milk, chocolate, no chocolate. Do you think white rice candies, lemon and almond chocolate? Do you think white rice candies? And that's going to do it for our throwback episode. Coming up next, we share something we love.
We'll be back in just a few with more of the Morning Side Hug right here on Back Row Radio.
Welcome back to the Morning Side Hug as our show is coming to a close for today.
But first, I want to share with you something that I love. It's been a rough week.
It has been rough.
It's been rough.
I blame you.
You took
time off.
I'm sorry. Don't know what to say here. So something that I love. Going back to the taking time off, I spent this past week catching up on all of the shows that I missed.
Okay.
And... really, it's in season 4.
We're coming up on the finale in a couple weeks. But This Is Us.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
Is the finale like of the series or just the season?
Just the season, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I watched the first 2.5 seasons of This Is Us. And very much enjoyed it. It just got a little overly dramatic for my taste.
Okay. So the first couple seasons were like emotional.
Yeah.
Emotional drama. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the last couple seasons have been very intriguing. Like, they leave you with cliffhangers every episode. And it's like, wait a minute. What's happening here? What's going on? The season finale of season 3 was looking into the future. Like, which with This Is Us, it goes back and forth in time the whole time anyway.
The pilot was brilliant in how they used that.
Yeah. Yes. But the season 3 finale takes us into the future, into a place that we had not yet gone before. So Randall, the adopted brother, he is grown and his daughters are grown. And so it leaves you on a cliffhanger there at the end of season 3. And so all of season 4, like, I've been waiting. What happened? What's going on? And they've given us just a few touches here and there on it. So I had to catch up on 2 episodes this past week.
Yeah.
And it was a 2-parter. Again, another cliffhanger. But I'm sitting there like, this show blows my mind every single week. And then because I'm watching it on Hulu. So I went back and I was like, I thought for sure I'd only been watching it for a year, you know. But I go back and I'm like, this is 4 seasons of the show that I've been invested in since the beginning, since episode 1. And these people feel like a part of my family now. I have to know what's happening with Kate and Kevin and Randall. I have to know. But that's what I love. Parenthood, did you ever watch that?
I did watch that a little bit.
Okay, so I felt the same way about that show.
Yeah.
And then it ended. And there wasn't another show like that.
Right.
And then This Is Us came along, and I'm like,
This Is Us, I think, does it a lot better.
This Is Us,
it is superbly acted. The cast that they chose is fantastic.
They're phenomenal. Yeah. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Very believable.
Yep.
And not all of the drama comes from, like, one, I loved Smallville on the CW, the Superman, like, prequel type show. And it lasted for 10 seasons. It was very popular. But in the early years, the first, like, 4 years, it was very much CW-esque.
Okay.
You know, very teen drama kind of thing. And so one of the things that really started to bug me is that they relied on this phrase that they used several times every season of, one of them is angry about something that someone else did. The other person, instead of apologizing and explaining why they did it, they explain why they did it, and then they say, I thought you of all people would understand this.
Yeah.
And they used that line so many times, it lost all meaning to me.
Yeah.
And I realized every single time the person who said it was in the wrong.
Yeah.
They should not have said that. They should be apologizing for what they did. Even if they had a good reason.
Yeah.
You're not giving them a chance to understand.
Right.
And so it was like falsified drama almost. It was drama for drama's sake.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And too many shows do that. This Is Us does a spectacular job of avoiding that.
Yeah.
There are times when characters get indignant, but they deal with the consequences of that. Mm-hmm. They're never seen as in the right.
Yeah.
Like it was in Smallville or other things like that. So yeah, I really do enjoy that show myself.
I love it. You have to go catch up.
I think I might.
So good.
I like the idea of fast forwarding to the future.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. Well, let's close out our show with the Bible verse for the day. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Thank you for joining us. There is a Back Row Morning Show every weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific, with an encore at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. Mo and I bring you the Morning Side Hug most of the week, and Bubba and Anna bring you Church Nerds every Friday.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Bite. at Back Row Radio, and join our laughter-inducing Facebook community, Back Row Baptist Church, by going to backrowbaptist.com.
If you love what we do here at Back Row Radio, please consider partnering with us at backrowradio.com/partner. There are several tiers with different rewards and incentives, but even just committing to donate $1 a month will get you into our private Facebook group, The Scoop, and get you our private podcast feed, where you'll get every full episode of The Morning Side Hug, including our Throwback Thursday episode, and you'll get a full episode of Church Nerds a day early.
Of course, we also offer the Back Row Free podcast.
We also offer...
Jeez Louise, on backrowradio.com, where you'll get a weekly podcast on Wednesdays from the Morning Side Hug with selected clips from our first three shows that week. You'll get Critical Hit with Hector Mira and the full episodes of Church Nerds after they air on Fridays.
That is it for the show. We will be back next week. We hope that you will too. But make sure you tune back in tomorrow morning at the same time for Church Nerds. Once again, I'm Matt.
And I'm Mo.
Remember that Jesus loves you.
You shouldn't need 18 alarms to wake you up in the morning.
And if you see us around, we'd love a side hug.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made up of clips from The Morning Side Hug from the past week. But there is so much more show to hear. Sign up for our Patreon podcast for as little as $1 a month, and you'll receive all four weekly episodes of The Morning Side Hug in full. Visit backrowradio.com/partner to support our radio ministry. Thank you. God bless.